On this episode of The Playbook, I have Adam Contos, CEO of RE/MAX Holdings, and we're going to talk about what makes a business succeed and what makes a business fail during the pandemic. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
I have an incredible entrepreneur, Adam Contos. He's the CEO of RE/MAX Holding Inc. Everybody knows RE/MAX, and that's because of Adam. Adam, welcome to The Playbook. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me here.
You know, so many people are curious, I'm sure, on how people like you end up being the CEO of such a huge organization, such a huge brand. But we all start at the same place, the beginning. And one of the things I noticed about your beginning, like a lot of entrepreneurs, you actually dropped out of school, but not just once, you dropped out of school twice, even though you got straight A's.
Well, I got straight A's the third time, I guess you could say. But yeah, I'm a two-time.
Talk about dummy tax, see, we're right there.
Yeah, I can tell you two ways not to do it. So, and then it took to the third one. But it's actually interesting because when I went back for my MBA, I mean, I didn't finish my undergrad. And apparently, if you have enough business leadership experience, you can write a big fat essay. And then they go, okay, yeah, you're good to get into your MBA. And I went back and I just implemented all of those entrepreneurial structure and sequences that I had put into my life before. And I'm like, this school thing is pretty easy if you follow these rules. So it kind of worked out well.
And it was more the rule following probably that hurt you when you were younger than anything else. It wasn't the intellectual challenge, I'm sure, that caused you to quit. To that point, you know, it's really interesting and fun for people like you and I that we get to go back and we speak and teach at the biggest and greatest universities. I joke around, but Stanford rejected me twice, once in undergrad, which I probably didn't deserve to get into Stanford as an undergrad, but I definitely was in contention for law school. And all my siblings went to the Ivy Leagues. And for me, the biggest redemption of my career was being paid to speak at Stanford. And I thought to myself, now this is justice. For you, you know, coming from the grinder type of perspective that you have and, you know, making it happen through situational knowledge, experience, relationship, capital, and kindness, you know, was there any of a chip on your shoulder, any redemption moments in your career as it evolved and unraveled?
I think once you get to that point where you've given up before, you've quit before, you failed before, things of that nature, you look at it and you go, this is not going to kill me. So there's no reason for me to stop. I'm just going to keep going until I can prove to myself that I'm giving it the best that I can give it. And it was fascinating when you take a step back because we all see it. We've all seen it. You see a lot of people where you thought that they had everything they needed to accomplish their goals. They fail because they stop halfway or they don't understand that they have to get over that chasm in life where most people just kind of say, no, I don't have the fortitude or the endurance to continue. So, you know, it was, you're right. It was about paying that tax and then going, well, wait a second. I already paid the tax. I don't have to give up. I can just keep going until I accomplish this. And if that's the case, great. You know, I'll get there. I'll get better. I'll use less hours in the day. I'll use less energy, but I'm going to find a way.
You know, so interesting. I was thinking there's two math equations that they don't teach in school that have helped me in a tremendous way. The first is the mathematical equation of luck, which looking at your career has always been in place, which is what it seems you've paid attention to plus what you give intention to equal the coincidences in your life. And you know that mathematical equation has seemed to have formulated great success for you and RE/MAX as a brand and even your personal brand and even Start With A Win, your podcast, which is, you know, blowing up and accelerating as well. But there's another mathematical equation that you just indicated to me, which is the biggest challenge for entrepreneurs. And that is it takes 90% of the effort to get to 25% of the result. In other words, you know, we have to put in the consistent, persistent, daily, painly grind to get 90% of the way to just finally see some sort of result, which is of diminished capacity compared to what other people expect. So during that 90% of the way, everyone's telling us to quit, that we're a loser, we're making bad decisions. You know, of course, if we continue on like you and I do, they'll be applauding us and telling you, I knew you could do it, Adam. I knew you could do it. And we all know the truth. They really didn't know you could do it. And they were telling you not to do it and told you to get that real job as you were doing it. What lesson have you learned? Because your brands, your personal brand and RE/MAX itself and your podcast take time to grow. The community takes time to grow. What's the biggest lesson you've learned while growing and developing the RE/MAX brand and your personal brand?
This is a great question. And, you know, there are a couple of things you can think about here, but let me take and spin this into a third equation that you can use here. Yeah. And that's that.
I copy it and use it everywhere.
Sure. Go, it's all yours, Dave. So it's interesting when you look at people who start to rest or give up, things of that nature. What do we seek when we want to get away from something? We seek entertainment generally. You know, we try to get away to go entertain ourselves and take our mind off of this. Well, one of the things that I learned was, you know, you can't repurpose entertainment for value generally. So you can't go see a movie and then go out to all your customers and go, hey, I saw this great scene in the movie. What do you think about it? And have them go, oh yeah, I want to buy your product as a result of that. So I realized really early on during this entrepreneurial growth cycle that you have to replace entertainment with education. Make your education your entertainment. So instead of this 80-20 or 90-10, hey, we're going to go entertain ourselves to burn time, I thought, well, I'll give myself a little bit of entertainment. I'll take that 10 or 20% as entertainment. I'm going to take that 80 or 90% as education. And so you flip the paradigm there and learn more. Why? Because what you learn, you can give. And that's where that connection comes in and that growth comes in of how do I get better? Well, I'm enjoying getting better then. Instead of making it work, it's entertainment for me now. And that's that flip you have to make in order to go out there and get people. I mean, what's leadership? Leadership is enrolling people to try and do what you're doing. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. And that's what you're doing is enrolling them in their own education in order to get better. They get better because they're doing what they see you doing. Everybody gets better together. And that's how you grow a business.
Which is exactly aligned with my definition of a leader, which is to be an intelligent follower. To enable and enroll those people, you have to actually be an intelligent follower of those people to enroll them in what you're trying to lead them to. To that point, you know, being a leader is, you know, you're an icon as a leader. Do you have any specific leadership advice that you can give to the entrepreneurs of the show?
Sure. The first thing I would tell everybody is control your emotions. So we all operate from two emotions. We operate from love, which is we're in control and we are demonstrating a positive passion towards something. And we also operate from fear, which is our default emotion. When we lose control of our emotions, we go to fear. Why do we go to fear and what happens? Well, first of all, it's genetically programmed into us to be afraid of things and to question everything and to fight back and push back against things because we don't want to burn any more energy. We don't want to burn any more effort and we don't want to create any more risk. So you default to that and that stops growth because you're curling up in a ball in the corner and not accomplishing anything. We have to deploy love and control our emotions. Once we deploy love, we're happy, we're go lucky, we seek opportunities and we deliver value. So the first thing I would always say to the leaders is control your emotions. What emotion are you coming from and what emotion is the other person in? Generally, they're in a fear emotion. You come in with a fear emotion, fear plus fear is not good. It doesn't create results. It pushes things away, in fact, but love coming in can placate that fear. If you love their emotion for whatever they're doing, oh, Dave, I love your passion for this. I can tell you're really, really interested in it. How can we make it a positive thing? And you go, wait a sec. I was just angry at this whole thing. No, I love your passion for it. I was angry. No, that's passion. I love it. And it just, I mean, it's, you start continuously adding this love for that and it's giving and it's helping. And that's how you get people to change their perspective and to grow as human beings and to be enrolled in your thought process.
Well, I love that. And I'm going to have to title this episode, The Mathematical Equation of Leadership and Entrepreneurship. But you also remind me of a story how I screw up my three teenage daughters. I have four kids. One son, he's 11. But when the two older ones go at it and one says to the other, I hate you. And the other's like, I hate you too. I look at them both. I'm like, oh my goodness, you guys are making me so happy. And it screws up the entire energy because they're looking like, Dad, what are you talking about? I go, well, gosh, you care so much about each other that you've evoked all of these emotions of hate and love and whatever. I go, I'm doing my job, but I would prefer this than, you really don't care what either person thinks or says or does. So this is a good thing. Leaders though have also one trait is the adaptability quotient. I believe the old thing that we taught in the bigger realm of the bureaucratic corporate world is EQ, the emotional intelligence. Now I believe there's a new, because the accelerated change caused not only by COVID, but by technology itself, we have to have an adaptable quotient, an adaptable IQ. What traits do you think best make an entrepreneur and a leader adaptable to pivot or change or adjust to the situations as they come so quickly, especially in real estate with RE/MAX? You guys have done a tremendous job. Everyone thought the market was going to fall out and real estate was dead. And, all those extra agents and brokers were going to go back to whatever they were doing before. But no, there's never been a better year than 2020. And it seems like 2021 will even be better for RE/MAX. What traits do you look for in a leader, or do you possess as a leader or an entrepreneur for that adaptability quotient?
I mean, another great question, Dave, because when you look at really truly what found organizations to be successful during COVID and during downturns, or even, if you go back to the Great Recession, 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010, in that time frame, it wasn't the companies that necessarily had a massive pivot. It was the companies that were able to just change direction slightly. So they were already doing or operating in a philosophy and a framework that created success. And what they did was they recognized that they still had to operate with a framework that creates success. It just might be small incremental changes to that framework in order to adapt to the environment. So instead of going and reinventing, and sure, some had to reinvent, I get that. But the reality is, we looked at it and we thought, okay, we got to double down. We're already doing what we need to do. We need to do it better than before, more efficiently than before, more remotely, more virtually, with more technology behind us. But we didn't start doing anything new necessarily. What we did was we took and got rid of all the noise and garbage that was participating in our lives. And we focused on the things that we'd been doing, but we knew we needed to maximize. So it was, and that's a, I was trying to kind of pull this apart the other day. I was taking notes in my journal and I was looking at, okay, the difference between the companies that really, really succeeded and those that had to start over is those that had to start over didn't have a solid framework for leadership. And that leadership could have been, I mean, maybe they were running a pizza company and they had some problems and they started making masks in their pizza ovens. I mean, they're still running a pizza place, but they're making masks, face shields in their pizza ovens. I saw a case study on that the other day, but they took and they doubled down on what they're really good at, which is running that pizza oven. So how do you take what you have? And fundamentally what it is human leadership, because, pretty much every business for the most part, unless you're a robotic manufacturing facility, you're in the human business. And that's what we took a step back at. We looked at how do we get better at those relationships and get closer to our customer base and then maximize that relationship. And that's what we did. And ultimately, that's what's driving successful businesses today. They got less transactional and more relational and just doubled down on those relations.
Yeah, especially in real estate, right? Nobody wants to be sold to, but everybody wants to go shopping with a friend. And the RE/MAX people do a great job of being our friends through the entire stressful process. Sometimes, the biggest economic decision that we'll make in our lives, especially the first time. Speaking of starting out, it's interesting. I look at Elon Musk, sorry, and yourself and people like me, and people say, you know, how do you, you know, have this great weighted balance between running one of the most powerful, successful companies in the world, having a family and successfully staying happy. And then on top of it, you got a podcast and your brand, and the list will go on and on with your charitable endeavors and the philanthropic efforts that you do and, you know, all the content that you put out. And yet when I look at what I'm doing today, or you or Elon Musk, of how much he's producing today, I always question, you know, was it more difficult at the beginning when we didn't have all the systems and the help and, you know, all the things we built and learned from all the dummy taxes we previously mentioned? Was it easier today to have a weighted balance, even though we're exponentially performing and producing so much more? Or, you know, do we have a weighted balance and some trick that we could tell a young entrepreneur, a beginner, you know, hey, this is how you keep, you know, if you're going to start a business from scratch, no problem. You can have a podcast, you can have your family, all the things that we have. I think there may be a little bit of a misguidance that some of the older, you know, executives like ourselves are feeding the younger entrepreneurs about weighted balance and the possibilities of having a weighted balance. What do you think?
Well, I'll start with saying, first of all, I don't believe there's balance in life. I think there's intention in life. And we have to be intentional in how we live our lives. And what that comes down to is your choice management. You talked a little bit about EQ before, emotional intelligence. Well, I'm going to throw at you emotional maturity. Emotional maturity is how mature you are in your choices. How do you decide what do I want to focus on and what do I want to forget about? Because, and the reality is when you throw some things to the side, those forgetabouts, you're going to be giving some things up. And there are a lot of people get this fear of missing out, this FOMO in life. And they're like, oh, I don't want to give up doing that. Well, if you want to be really good at this other thing, you have to give up doing that. And that's, I think as you age as a business leader, as a, you know, some sort of a entrepreneur that is extraordinarily successful, you look around and you find for every one person that's found emotional maturity, there are thousands who can't function with it. They can't say, no, I'm not going to go to that movie. I'm going to go to that meeting instead so that next week I can go to two movies. You know, they'll make those adjustments in their decision-making in order to accomplish things at the right time. Just like Branson, you know, Richard Branson has three focuses. And if what he is presented, somebody calls us his assistant and says, I want to talk to him. And his assistant goes, about what? And if it doesn't fit one of those three focuses, he won't talk to him. And a lot of people in life need to learn that that's how a lot of business leaders operate. Don't call me up and go, Adam, I just need 10 minutes of your time. I'm like, no, I'm not giving you any of my time. In fact, I'm not even going to answer you. My assistant's going to answer you and say, thanks, but no thanks. This doesn't fit into his priorities. That's what it's about. And no matter where you are in life, that's how you should be thinking about it. What are your priorities? And how do you make sure that that is where you spend your great equalizer time? We all have the same amount of it. How do you spend your great equalizer to be as productive in your life holistically? Because I'm not just talking business here, I'm talking personal as well, that you can be in order to be a successful holistically in your personal relationships, your family, your faith, your finances, you know, your spouse, your kids, your dog, whatever it might be, and your business as possible. So emotional maturity, choice management.
I love that. Lastly, I want to finish up. You know, you definitely subscribe to what I call my five daily practices of know your what, which you just described, know your who, meaning who can help you and who and how you can be of service to others, know your how, know your now, meaning prioritize by importance versus urgency, as Eisenhower has taught both of us with his matrix, and know your why, which is the practice of ending fear. We pretty much covered all of those practices. You also just discussed Branson and yourself having non-negotiables. And I think it's really important for you to share with us, you know, what are your non-negotiables, those three categories or whatever it may be that you prioritize through your experience and extreme success in all areas now of your life. What are your non-negotiables and how do you prioritize those?
I've whittled down my non-negotiables to be one thing, and that is my calendar. I'm very militant on my schedule. And if you can control one thing in your world, control your calendar first. So I say no to more meetings than you can possibly imagine. And I block off more time for me than you can possibly imagine. And it's interesting because once you, and I have the most amazing personal assistant on the planet. And she knows nobody gets on my calendar unless it goes through her. So, and then she also has permission to juggle these things. So it's, she understands my business priorities. She understands my personal priorities. She understands that I like to, you know, vacation a fair amount and, you know, plan your vacations. Don't go without planning them and plan three or four of them at a time. So, you know, you're going to take them and nothing gets in the way because things will always get in the way of what you haven't planned and you just desire to do. So essentially, I mean, I make it simple, Dave. I plan my calendar and part of my calendar is my family. Part of my calendar is saying, I love you three times a day to everybody in my family. I mean, that's just, that is something I do. Spending time with my dogs. I'm looking out the window right now into a pine forest. I spend time just kind of thinking and looking at how the branches touch the trees and stuff like that to provide clarity and allow me to get through some challenges that get clouded. But ultimately I'm in control of it. And once you become in control of your calendar, you're in control of your life.
Oh my goodness. My team is sitting there. I know we don't see their faces, but they're like, he paid Adam to say this because I've been telling them my non-negotiables are calendar, health, and family all incorporated into one. Obviously, if you're healthy, you get thousands of wishes a day. If you're unhealthy, you only get one wish. But you know, if you're not a student of your calendar, if you're not in control of your calendar, you don't take care of your health. You don't have nutrition and meditation or whatever else is effective for you. So, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please reiterate to everyone, be a student of your calendar. That calendar is essential to success, knowing how to be productive, accessible, and gracious with your time. And Adam, those are the three things that you have been on the playbook here today, productive, accessible, and gracious with your time to help all of us with your playbook to success. The incredible Adam Kontos, CEO at RE/MAX Holdings, Inc. Thank you so much. Don't forget to check out his podcast. It's incredible. Start with a win and finish with one too, as I always say. Don't even call it a comeback. Adam and I have been here for years. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.